Hi, I'm Mihaela Blenda, a program manager on SQL Server team. In this video, I'm going to talk about the range of high availability, disaster recovery, and security options that we plan for SQL Server on Linux. I will start with a frame around various HADR solutions, what is available today with the CTP1 release, and what we have planned for upcoming releases. Then I'm going to walk through various security options and the plan to enable them for SQL Server on Linux. Finally, I'm going to go through a demo for a few capabilities that are available for you to try today. For SQL Server running on Linux, our goal is to enable organizations to achieve a wide array of availability SLA goals to accommodate various business requirements. Here is the framing we are using to think about HADR for SQL Server. By using simple HA solutions, organizations leverage virtualization technologies to achieve a high degree of resiliency against host-level failures, fault tolerance against hardware failures, as well as elasticity and resource maximization. These systems can run not only on-premises, but simple HA applies to SQL Server running on private or public cloud or hybrid environments. For simple DR, the fundamental form of disaster recovery and protection is the database backup. Standard HA is about instance-level protection combined with reliable shared storage infrastructure, or database-level protection with always-on basic availability group support. For DR, once baseline data protection is in place with backups, the rest of the environment can be customized to the needs of the organization for additional disaster recovery. One such option for standard DR is log shipping. For mission-critical SQL workloads, always-on availability groups is an integrated solution that provides redundancy within or across data centers to help enable fast application failover during planned or unplanned downtime. We will look into more details about mission-critical HADR in the SQL Server for Linux context shortly. Now, we are staging enabling some of these solutions starting with CTP1 release. While always-on availability groups and log shipping are still in progress, they will become available in the upcoming preview releases of SQL Server on Linux. As I mentioned, our goal is to enable always-on availability groups as an integrated, flexible, cost-efficient HADR solution for mission-critical applications, irrespective of the platform SQL Server is running on. In Windows, SQL Server relies upon the operation system to provide the infrastructure features supporting both failover clustering and always-on availability groups. Similarly, on Linux platforms, SQL Server is natively integrated with Linux clustering solutions like Pacemaker to enable same set of HADR scenarios. Using same technologies, customers will be able to migrate their SQL Server workloads from Windows to Linux. By setting up availability groups in a cross-platform configuration, downtime during the migration is going to be minimal. So that's high availability and disaster recovery for SQL Server on Linux. Let's look at another aspect of SQL Server that is also critically important for enterprises, security. Our goal is for SQL Server on Linux to support the same enterprise-grade security capabilities that customers rely on with SQL Server on Windows today. We think about security for SQL Server in terms of layers. At the center, you have your data and how you protect the data itself, typically using encryption. SQL Server supports a variety of encryption features to help protect your data against different types of threats. Transparent data encryption encrypts your whole database at rest without requiring any application changes. Backup encryption encrypts your backup files, and cell-level encryption gives you granular control over the encryption of individual cells of data. To encrypt data in transit to and from the database, SQL Server supports the industry standard TLS 1.2 protocol. And finally, Always Encrypted enables you to encrypt sensitive data client-side so that even privileged SQL Server administrators are unable to see it in plain text. The next layer is about controlling access to the data. SQL authentication allows users to authenticate via a username and a password, while Active Directory authentication allows users to authenticate using single sign-on through Active Directory and Kerberos. Granular permissions enable you to control access to the individual tables or even columns of data. Role-level security allows you to control read and write access to individual rows of data based on a customizable policy. And dynamic data masking allows you to easily mask fields such as account numbers so that only part of the data can be seen. The last layer is about monitoring who accesses the data. SQL Server's fine-grained audit feature allows you to enforce a data audit policy and track which users are doing which actions. So that's where we're going with security for SQL Server on Linux. Almost all of these features are already available for you to try in the CTP 1 preview release. Please try them out and share your feedback with us. Support for TLS and Active Directory authentication, one of our most requested features, is in progress and will become available in an upcoming build. Now, let's see a demo on how to register SQL instance to be part of a Linux cluster set up using a popular cluster solution Pacemaker. I'm also going to walk through a restore of an encrypted database from Windows to an instance of SQL Server running on Linux. So let's see the demo. So let's start by adding SQL Server as a resource to a highly available Linux cluster based on Pacemaker. I already have a two nodes cluster set up on these two VMs. Let's quickly check its status. As you can see here, I have two online nodes and none of the resources of the cluster are configured. In order to add SQL Server as a resource in the cluster, I have a SQL Server resource agent package available to install in the same repository as MS SQL Server. So I'll have to install, it's called MS SQL Server HA. We'll have to install it on both nodes. Okay, let's bring, once that completes, we can edit the cluster configuration file in order to add the SQL resource. So PCS cluster, we're going to save all the changes in this temporary file. And in order to add a resource to the cluster, we're going to use the PCS resource create command. Let's call it MSSQL HA and add the rest of the parameters and a timeout for Pacemaker to start SQL instance. And together with the SQL, we're going to add a virtual IP resource, and I'm going to show you how to collocate them together. We're going to use the same PCS resource create virtual IP. And of course, we're going to use a unique IP within the network. Okay, let's save the configuration file. PCS cluster. So at this time, the resources should have been come up. Let's check with PCS status. And as you can see here, they are online, but they are on different nodes. We want the virtual IP and the SQL resource to be on the same, collocating on the same node. So on the client side, we use the virtual IP to connect to the SQL Server. And in case of the failover should be transparent to the application. So we'll have to add a constraint on the two resources to coexist on the same node. So when a SQL resource will fail over to another node, virtual IP should follow it. So using the same cluster configuration file, we'll have to update the configuration to add a constraint. Collocation, add. So we just add the two .ip. And again, just save, push with a temporary file. And at this time, the virtual IP resource should move to follow the, or in this case, actually SQL Server resource moves to the same node . Okay, and as you can see, they are both on the same node. To trigger failover, we use PCS resource move command, and we say to the SQL resource to move to the other node. Oh, I misspelled something here. Oh, resource. And now again, using PCS status, we should see that the resources, both the SQL resource and the virtual IP resource, moved to the other node in the cluster. Now, let's restore an encrypted database from SQL Server running on Windows to this instance of SQL Server running in the cluster. So I have here in SSMS, I am connected to this SQL Server instance, and I already created a database. It's this DemoDB that is, as you can see, it's not yet encrypted. Let's enable TDE for it, and create the master key and the database certificate, and let's set the encryption status, okay? And as the warning said, we have to back up the certificate and the private key. We're gonna back it up to a file share that the Linux VM has access to, just for easy access. So let's back up the certificate. And finally, back up the database to the same share. Okay, so this is completed. I have my backup on the Windows side. Now on the Linux side, as you can see, I am connected using the virtual IP that I configured in the cluster. And let's see if I have anything in the database. I don't have yet any user databases. In order to restore the database that we just backed up, we have to recreate the master key on the SQL instance running on Linux, as well as the database certificate. And then run the restore command. It will take a few seconds to complete. And by running the select database, we're gonna see that database is available, and we're gonna see the encryption status accordingly. As you can see, the encryption property preserved throughout the restore. I hope you're going to find that useful. For more info on these topics, or if you are interested to find more about SQL Server on Linux, please visit SQLServerOnLinux.com. Also, join our community on Stack Overflow and watch the rest of SQL Server on Linux series at Connect. Thanks for watching.